All right, we are here with Riley Erickson of R1 Industries. We are in the second giant portaled razor expedition I've ever been in my life. And these things are starting to grow on me. But anyways, Riley, thanks for taking me out. We're running up AF Canyon. This is local to your guys' shop, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's only about 15, 20 minutes away from our shop. And we come up here all the time. We'll jet up here after work or on the weekends, and we just love it up here. It's beautiful. We try and stay away from the crowds. We go up, you know, Tingy's grave and all sorts of different places.
Yeah.
We just love it. It's beautiful up here.
Yeah. So your shop, you're local here. You're in, is it technically Linden, American Fork? Where? Yeah.
Yeah, so we're in Linden, kind of down by Wheeler Machine, or kind of down by the waste management facility there in Linden. Yeah, down in the business complexes. Currently, we have it's about a 6,000 square foot facility right now. But we are trying to move. We have some offers on some buildings and things like that. We're trying to get into the, you know, 10 to 15,000 square foot facility.
Wow.
Our repair shop has really exploded. We have anywhere from 15 to 24 machines at our shop every single day.
Are you serious? Really? Like just cycling through?
Yeah, just cycling through. And so we need the extra space.
Okay. So you're in a 6,000 square foot shop now, and obviously you're still growing, but like, I'm imagining that's not where you started, because that most businesses don't start in something that big. So tell me, kind of, how did you get going? How did R1 come about?
Yeah, so back in about 2016, 15-ish, I actually bought a Razor 800 that was turboed and bored and stroked. And
okay.
At the time, it was one of the fastest machines in Utah.
What drove that decision? Just...
Oh, I actually started on dirt bikes and four-wheelers, but my wife, bless her soul, she's an amazing person, but she wouldn't go ride the same places that I would. Every time we would go up a little hill or something, I'd have to get off my dirt bike, walk back, drive her bike up the hill, and I was like, I'm done. So we're getting a side-by-side where we can both go together. And
yeah.
So we went out and bought that Razor, and it was amazing. It helped our relationship. It was just an amazing decision. And so
you heard it here first. If you're having marriage troubles, just buy a UTV.
Yeah. You heard it out of me first, right?
Not that you were having horrible troubles, but it'll only make it better.
No, but it really did. And it gave us some common ground on, you know, she loves the outdoors, I love the outdoors. And so just one extra thing that helped us connect. So
yeah.
But anyways, I bought that Razor and I wanted to buy some LED light whips. So I reached out to a company in California after I bought them. I loved their whips. And I asked, hey, you know, out here in Utah, this was before the Razor XP turbos were even out. So
yeah, so Razors, 13, 15, that was... Yeah, that was just the XP. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really, this sport wasn't taking off yet at that time. It was just barely getting started. And so
they were just stepping away from being that like four-wheeler replacement machine.
Exactly. And so anyways, I reached out to this company and said, hey, UTVs are growing like crazy out here. I'd really like to sell your stuff. Do you mind? Could we work something out? Because I really love your product and I was a believer. And they came back and said, nah, you know, we don't work with individuals, things like that. And I was like, hey, no problem, I totally get it. Well, I'm gonna do it myself then. So I decided to I actually jumped on Amazon and eBay and started buying LED lighting products and kind of figuring out how to do it myself. And I built a set for myself, and then one of my friends wanted them, and I didn't want to actually build them. I told my buddy, I said, dude, I'm not going to build these for you. I really don't know if they're even going to last. I'd hate for you to spend $150 and they break on the first trip. And he goes, I don't care about that. Let's try it out. Okay. I said, all right, man, let's do it. So I built him a set and he just loved them. It was amazing. Then his friends wanted them. And then pretty soon everybody on Facebook was hitting me up. And yeah, that time I was just like, hey, I got to start a business, get a business license and start doing it, you know,
pretty seriously about it.
Yeah. And so I started that. We're making them by hand every single night. Me and one of my best friends. And I was literally, the setup that we had was mind-blowing.
Okay.
We had a drill duct taped to a beer pong table.
Nice.
And we would hook the LED light with the fiberglass pole into the drill. And then we had a foot pedal on the ground. We would push on the foot pedal, which would then spin the drill. And then we would hand spin each whip. And then when I was done wrapping the whip, I would hand the whip over to my best friend. He'd put the heat shrink on. He'd sit there with the heat gun and heat it all up. And I mean, I was doing everything from soldering the little pigtail connectors on. I was using one of my wife's old Christmas cookie sheets, and I was soldering on that cookie sheet. I mean,
I'm sure she loved that.
Oh yeah, she did. She was a little upset at that, I'm not gonna lie, but you know, all it took was a little bit of, you know, creativity, and that's where it really took off, is just being creative. And I really wish I had some of the video that we took back in the day just to reflect on it, because people would laugh. It was pretty funny to look back, but it's genuine. It's a cool story. So,
well, that's how it all starts, right? Like, it's, nothing starts like at 100%, right? You just gotta start doing it and kind of figure it out. That's really cool. So what made you, like, did you just tear apart that company in California's whip and be like, oh, this is something I could definitely do myself, and this is like I make it better? Or were you just like,
no, I figured I got on YouTube. I said how to make LED light whips, and on YouTube there was tons of videos, you know, but not many people were doing the whips for the UTVs. They were doing them for the sand rails.
Because
the sand rails were a lot more popular at the sand dunes at that time, because, you know, at that time there was the 1000s and then the 800s and 900s, and if you didn't have an aftermarket turbo on your machine, the dunes really weren't that fun.
Yeah, it's like being in a KRX right now.
Yeah, exactly. I just YouTubed it. I didn't take anyone's product and take it apart or anything. It was 100% just trial and error, to be honest. And
yeah, as you're looking at other products, do you guys compare yours to other things? Like, do you buy samples from others? And just trying to figure out. I'm just trying to figure it out because I've bought whips myself that have like just not held up over a really big bump.
Yeah.
And then I've seen your videos of you like smashing pieces of iron with yours. So I'm trying to figure out like what do you guys do to maintain that like durability? I mean, that's not all you do, but the whips, like I just have this vision in my head of you like just trying to beat things to death with these whips, and they hold up.
Yeah. So once you get to know me, you'll know I like to have fun. I like to do things that are outside of the norm, and I like to prove what I say. And I can honestly say I have never had another company's whips and compared them.
That's awesome.
I one time had a customer give me a competitor's whip, and we did beat the heck out of it. And we were gonna post the video, but then we're like, no. You know, we don't need to compare ourselves to others. We just need to do our own thing, stay in our own lane, and we need to practice what we preach. And so I'm not a big fan on comparing products, especially LED light whips, because there's so many of them out there. At this point, most of them use the same stuff. I mean, some things are a little brighter, some things are a little stronger, some mounts are better than others, but it's really up to the user at the end of the day. And I think that us proving what we built is really what gets our customers excited when they see us smash something or they see how much R&D.
Yeah, can work for me.
Yeah, as much R&D as we put into our products is really what sets us apart. I mean, before I released our lifetime no questions asked warranty, we tested them vigorously. Like, I gave them to my buddies, I put them on my machines, we went out and torture tested the crap out of them. And we wrote everything down. I still have every single warranty form from back till like 2017. So when every time we got a warranty, the customer would write down what the problem was, send the whips back to us, or bring them to us, either way. And we documented every single issue. And then we put it all into a platform, an Excel spreadsheet. And then we sorted the data. And if we had a mount issue or we had a whip issue that was constant or something that was really a big problem.
Something that kept reoccurring.
Yes, we would go back to the drawing board and we would fix it. And so that's something that we didn't just launch a product and call it good enough. I mean,
right.
There's a reason why we called it the Gen 1, Gen 2, Gen 3, Gen 4 is because, you know, over time, we just got better and better and better and better. So that's another something that we really focus on is just making our product the best it can be. So
that's good. So, but you guys don't do just whips. Like you said, you now have like a, I say now as if it just started, but you also do, you know, full repairs. You guys carry a whole host of products that aren't yours. I bought bumpers from you guys that were built by Gilly Fab before they went upside down. Come on, buddy. So we got someone passing us. What was the tipping point from like, okay, I've got these whips that all my buddies have been interested in. I think I can push this further. I think I can start reaching out to manufacturers or however you went about that.
Yeah, so while I was doing the whips, I built a lot of strong connections with other companies, you know, Trinity Racing, you know, Gilly Fab, all these guys, they knew me from the whips. And so a lot of my buddies then would reach out and say, hey, can you get me this part? Can you get me that part? And I always said yes. And so at that point, I was just like, wow, my passion is not just whips. My passion is the whole machine. I love working on them. I love making them faster. I love making them reliable. I love making them cool. And so that was kind of the perfect opportunity.
Like making them into this?
Yeah. And so I finally decided 4 years ago that I was gonna take a huge leap of faith and just start doing everything. And I,
is that all it was? Only 4 years ago when you?
It was only 4 years ago when I kind of started selling everything. And I really only consider us to be in business for about 3 years. Because the first year we really only did shocks in our repair facility. And then we started getting into more things, and more led to more, and more led to more, and it just kind of took off. So, my passion is just everything. My dad grew up as a mechanic in the military, and he was always fixing cars. He had a little Mustang that he built, and actually when I was a kid, he says that he had to beg me to go out and work on his little Mustang, and I had no interest of it.
That definitely turned around then, huh?
That definitely turned around, and I really love doing the UTV work and repair now. So, after we got into this new building, we started doing all the repair and stuff, and then I started figuring out the online stuff. So, The biggest part of our business is the online retail sales.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys are local in Linden. But your website is everywhere, and I've seen your stuff everywhere. Like, I've seen your whips in Oregon. I've seen them when I, you know, went to Florida and other things like that. I just managed to be like, oh, there's a razor. Oh, that's all one. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yep. Yeah, just over the 4th of July the other week, I was down in Richfield, Utah, you know, kind of somewhere only real enthusiasts know about how much amazing riding is down there.
So I've seen you everywhere, but you were telling me a bit ago, you were just down in Richfield for something?
Yeah, we were down there camping in the KOA, and I took my little girls for a walk around the campsite, and it was pretty cool. I saw three sets of whips that were mine in that campsite. So that was part of that experience.
How do your kids react? Or are they old enough to kind of put two and two together? Or how does that feel, I guess, for you to be like, yeah, that's dad's stuff?
Yeah, it's quite rewarding because I get to show them, you know, what's possible, what's capable. And every time they see our logo, even on YouTube, we'll be watching YouTube. Kids love YouTube. But I'll come on a commercial and my wife or my kids will be like, oh, dad, look, it's daddy's work. And it's super cool that they can recognize the logo and associate it with me, and they get to see me on TV. And I just really hope one day that when they're a little older, they can appreciate what it takes to be able to do those types of things. This has not been an easy business. This is by far one of the hardest businesses I have ever ran. And I've been the VP of finance in multi-million dollar businesses and companies kind of like doTERRA.
Okay.
We're doing hundreds of millions of dollars every month. And that concept was actually easier than this concept.
It's kind of that saying, right? To go 0 to 1 is harder than 1 to 100.
Yes.
That kind of how you feel about it too?
100%. So I would say our breakthrough was probably last year.
Cool.
Yeah, so our real breakthrough was probably about last year. We really figured some things out. We got some sweet marketing. And like they say, it is really hard to go from 0 to 1 million. But once you get from 1 million to 2, it starts getting a little easier. From 2 to 3, it starts getting a little easier. And then after about 5, it's pretty much maintenance. But there's a lot that goes into, you know, what we're doing nowadays. It gets a lot more complex because there's a lot more moving parts at 5 to 10 million.
Are you talking revenue?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And so do you feel like your background being VP of finance is, I mean, it's not your passion, I guess, the finance side of it, but do you feel like that's kind of put you in a spot to where you're like, okay, I know where I'm at with this company, and I, you know, kind of know what we need to do to get where we want to be.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would attribute my passion to the off-road is kind of being number one. And then number two is that financial background. There's been a lot of trying times throughout the years, you know, going through COVID, going through all sorts of different things. If I didn't know cash flow, if I didn't know how to, you know, go through the navigate the books, there could have been some scary times. But
yeah,
but you know, we did really amazing through COVID. We did really good through some other tough times, but there were also some not so good times. There was a time where we made some LED light whips and the fiberglass poles that we were using, same manufacturer, same everything, but the fiberglass didn't cure properly. And so we sent out probably close to 100 sets of whips, and almost every single one of them broke.
Is that just delamination, or they just cracked?
Yeah, so inside of the fiberglass pole, there were actually air bubbles. And we went back through the manufacturer, and they did agree that they did have a batch that was bad on those fiberglass poles. And so those little tiny bubbles were causing the whips to just snap really easy. And that cost me about 25 grand. And
just in eating the warranties on that to begin with?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, man.
So that's a big hit to take when you're such a new business.
Absolutely.
And so navigating through that was fun and trying, but
we've got four-wheel drive.
Yeah, we'll kick it into a little bit of a four-wheel drive action here.
Has that been... I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot, but like,
no, yeah.
Have you ever had any moments where you're like, dude, I don't know if this is going to work. Like, I feel like every business owner I talk to has had some sort of like moment where they're like, this might've been a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that. There's been a few times where, okay. You know, I'm one of the guys that will literally bend over backwards for a complete stranger and more, you know.
Well, for me, dude, to come and just chat with me, like, hey, yeah, you can jump in my rig for an hour. We'll chat. Yeah. It was just me just messaging you on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I am genuinely the nicest person ever. It's just you have to allow me the opportunity to be nice. And that's...
okay.
That's some of people's problems is they're going to be mad no matter what. They think if you're mad that they're going to get something out of it, which, you know, sometimes I'll give in, but it also doesn't need to be that way. It can be like, hey, I had this problem. What can we do to fix it? But there's a lot of times people just be really mean and you try and do everything you can and they're still pissed. And it's
they're
like,
just man, never going to be happy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and that weighs on you very heavily as a business owner, especially when you're so passionate about this. And so when people are just disgustingly mean, it's like, man, is this really even worth it? Like, there's been a couple times, but then I reflect back and I'm like, you know, I'm helping so many people be able to enjoy the same hobby that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really is rewarding. And there's so many amazing people. Not everybody's mean. Most 98% of people, even 99% of people are just so nice and so willing to work with you that during those hard times, you just got to take a step back and look at the big picture and be like, you know, I am doing something that's meaningful. I'm, you know, there's even some people that I know, they've shared stories to where they're like, you know, I was suicidal. I was really struggling with life. And I got into UTVs and buying parts from you has made it so I actually enjoy life. And I actually, you know, so that kind of stuff is very rewarding. And that's why I do what I do is I just love it. I love allowing people to do what I love and get more people into this sport. So
yeah,
there's been some times that have been hard, but when I step back, every time I'm having a hard time, my wife, my friends, my colleagues, a big friend of mine, Richie from 50 Cal,
okay.
Owner, we talk all the time. He's really hyped me up. We collaborate back and forth. Just, I have some really good support and I got to attribute all the success to my friends, my family, and my employees. We'll get on to employees here in a minute because I really can't say I could have done any of this without them.
Yeah.
Every single person that's ever, even current and previous employees, even the previous ones, I still love and appreciate because they're who got us to this point.
For sure. And before we get like drive, but fully into your employees, and you're talking about the broader picture, you know what? Actually, no. Employees is a better place to go. But remind me, I want to come back to the broad picture. So you're saying your employees, like even the ones that you don't have with you anymore for whatever reason. Yeah, I mean, dude, it would have been, 10 years ago-ish since you've had the idea?
Yep.
And to get to where you are, I mean, I guess let's start. How many employees do you guys have? Because you got to have mechanics, probably salespeople, outside sales. I don't know what it even would look like from an organizational
shape. Yeah, so we run off of 11 employees right now.
Oh, wow, that's super lean.
Yeah, yeah, we run pretty lean, but I can tell you we've figured some stuff out to where basically our entire operation is automated online. It is super cool. Just the amount of stuff that we're able to automate and do is incredible. From the time a customer places an order, our system automatically takes that order, sends it to the vendor, because we drop ship a lot.
Right.
The vendor will take our order. It automatically pays them, automatically sends everything. Literally within seconds of an order being placed.
You said all this automation set up to just,
yes.
Boom, done.
Yep. And then as soon as the vendor gets the order, they'll process the order and
The GoPro stopped recording.
Yeah, so we run very lean as far as our staff goes, because we've hired an internal web developer who's come in and basically automated our entire system. So from the time we get an order from our customer, our system processes it within 60 seconds. Sends okay. all the information out, gathers tracking, sends it all out 100% automated, which has really allowed us to scale. Because, in previous years and still a little bit today, we have a girl who's our purchasing manager who processes all the orders. But since we've been able to automate a lot of stuff, we've been able to scale.
Right, which is she can do more with what you built around her type of thing.
Correct. Yep, she's able to now analyze the data instead of being in the trenches doing all the work.
Yeah,
now she can kind of take a bigger overlook of, hey, these are where margins are at. This is where we're losing money on shipping. These are the top vendors. It's pretty amazing to look at where we were last year compared to this year. It's absolutely insane.
So was that change? Was that automation? That was all implemented within the last calendar year?
Within the last 2 months, yep.
Oh, wow. Okay, so way sooner than I thought.
Yep, the last 2 months we've been able to automate literally everything, and and we're seeing growth of 75% over last year, which is...
It's pretty kind of significant.
Yeah, it's pretty significant the amount of growth we've been able to see since we've implemented some of these new tools.
Yeah.
So,
to step back to that broader, taking a step back and like the industry as a whole, and not just being the lights guy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you have a pretty good pulse on the industry. What do you see? Like coming through in the next little bit, or what do you see? I mean, obviously machines like yours, like this Expedition, those are becoming really hot and popular.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you guys are seeing? Like, hey, we're seeing a bunch of interest in this thing, or do you guys keep metrics on stuff like that?
Yeah. So, we do keep metrics on everything. You know, the interesting thing is, even though there is a big market for these newer machines, there's even a bigger market for the older machines. You know,
okay.
Those older machines are becoming more valuable and keeping, and when I'm saying more valuable, I don't mean the price of them. People are keeping them and they're fixing them. Because they can't afford these new $40,000, $50,000 machines.
It's kind of the same thing we're seeing like the automotive, where it's like the price of used vehicles is going up because, like you say, people are retaining them.
Yep. Exactly. People are keeping their older machines and they're putting money into them to fix them up and improve them just because they don't have the money to upgrade. I mean, just 2 days ago, my dad, he's in the market for an Expedition because he just loves what we've been able to build. But
yeah,
he was quoted like $43,000 out the door. And it's,
oh my gosh, dude,
that's a lot. Back in 2018, I was out the door on a 4-seat XP Turbo for $18,500.
Yeah, I will tell you right now, your dad is about $8,000 off what I paid for my brand new Ram Cummins.
Yep, exactly.
That's crazy that they're that close.
It is. And then a build like this, you're 42, 43 out the door, and then you jump another. This machine's easily got 40 grand into it. And so you're starting to talk $100,000 machines real quick. And so a lot of people just don't have that. But there are a good majority of people that do. And so what I hope is that, you know, Polaris and Can-Am and these guys, they make quality products, but they don't price everybody out of this sport. Because it's an amazing sport, and I think more people, like I said, people with mental illness, people with, you know, real life struggles, or even somebody like me who just needed to connect with their wife a little more. This is such an amazing hobby. You get to come out. I mean, look at where we're at right now. It's beautiful, sure. And I wish more people, responsible people, not everybody, but I wish more responsible people could enjoy this, because it's really an amazing thing to see. Just right back there, we saw a deer.
Yeah.
It's just this is so fun. So
yeah, no, this is a good thing to get out. And like you say, it's, I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Internally, I'm a little bit like, I don't know. There's a lot of people. I moved away from Utah County, and coming up to Tibble Fork the other day, like, there's a lot of people. It's literally an internal battle I have with myself every day of like, I want people to enjoy this, but I want to be away from them. And I don't know how to circle that square or square that circle, but I always end up falling on the side of, no, it's better that more people enjoy this. More people doing this, you know, provides more political backing for keeping trails open, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And to your point about like not being priced out, I think that that's a good spot for like CF Moto and Segway. I've driven both. And honestly, if you're knocking on either of those machines, I really think you need to drive one first.
Yeah.
Because I was impressed.
Yeah, we've done quite a bit with Segway. We've sold a lot of their windshields. You know, it's a great product. It's affordable. It's up and coming. They're a great name. You know where they came from. Yeah, hit that rock. But
it's off the edge.
But yeah, it's those are great machines. I think there are still affordable options, but I just hope that's not where this industry goes, is pricing everybody out of it.
So I do
think we're gonna see some really cool stuff coming up, you know, with you know, I've kind of been hinted that these Polaris Expeditions might get a new drivetrain. They might get some other cool features. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest downfalls I have on this Expedition, is it does struggle on the power side.
Yeah. Do you think they'll go with a force induction engine of some sort? Or if you ask me, I think they might go, I don't have any inside information, just throwing that out there.
Yep.
But the 1500 Ranger with the steel drive belt.
Yeah.
I know that they are very excited about that platform.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great platform, and you know, it does really good. However, it's not 100% designed for rock crawling. It's not really designed for desert use. It's a workhorse. What I would like to see is Polaris throwing in the Pro-R drivetrain into this chassis.
Oh, yeah.
That would be completely change everything. You know, me and my service rider was just talking about this actually yesterday, that if Polaris would throw that Pro-R drivetrain into this, you would see this would be the ultimate machine with almost zero downfalls.
Yeah.
Because you would have the torque, you'd have the power, the machine wouldn't have to work as hard. It would just be the ultimate machine.
As far as a trail rig, for sure. I will tell you, with that much power, with the Pro-R, with that 225,
yes.
Even we're doing very slow stuff right now. The height on this, and granted, you're on portals, you're on 37s on this long travel kit. I'm a little bit like, Yeah. As we're getting, so I don't know if I'd be all too stoked about a Pro R in this particular machine right now. I feel like
agreed.
That might be a little bit much.
Agreed. And this machine, probably not. This machine was built to crawl and to go on these canyon trails. This machine is big. It is heavy. And we've even done portals and long travel, and it's a little top heavy, but I've never been in a situation in this to where I personally felt like I was going to tip. There was one time down in Manti, we were on the deer hunt, and I was pretty much sideways in this thing, and it did perfect. So,
well, that's good.
Right now I have about 8 PSI in the tires, which could make a huge difference. If you aired this up a little bit, it would not be as tippy. And then I also have it set on mountain mode on the SDIE click, which is really soft. So that is one cool thing about the eClick system from SDI, is you can sit here and adjust your settings as you drive, and you can really stiffen things up and everything just on the fly. So
yeah,
right now I do have it on all the way soft on everything, just because it's a little bit of a rockier trail.
Yeah.
But I do agree, it can feel a little tippy when you're new to these big portaled machines.
I have the same panic when every time I get into a Jeep on like 40s and stuff too. I find myself like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do with myself?
Especially when you're not the one driving.
Oh yeah.
If my wife's driving or anybody else, I'm like glued to the handles. Like,
yeah,
it's just different. You don't have that control. So sure. I would agree.
Cool, man. Well, it looks like we're up here at the end of this. We're up in some of the most beautiful country. I was really fortunate to grow up around here, and I love it. But anyways, where can people find your stuff? Where, if they want to see, like, if you got promotions coming out, things like that, where do people find you and go hit up R1?
Yeah, so we have our repair shop in Linden where you can come in anytime. You can grab things. We've got a little showroom where you can just pick stuff up, or you can find us online at r1industriesoffroad.com. We have about 100,000 products on our website right this second. And then probably by the end of this week or next week, we're going to add another 150,000 products.
More than double?
Yeah, in literally a week and a half. So I think you're going to see we're going to really blow up with the amount of products we have access to. We're just scratching the surface right now, and you're going to see us be a real big powerhouse here very soon with doubling our product line, and then that's just the beginning. We're gonna get into dirt bikes, we're getting into four-wheelers, we've had people wanting us to move into multiple locations. We've had people in St. George, Hurricane, Salt Lake, just begging us to move down to some of these places. Whether or not we'll do it, who knows, but the sky is the limit with us, and we'll just see where it goes.
Awesome. Thanks, so, man.
Yeah,
and awesome.
Appreciate your time, and yeah, you've done some great videos with some of my best friends, you know, CRC Foam, lots of other guys that you've done stuff with, and I think it's something really cool that you should be proud of, because you know, this stuff's not easy. We had to take time out of our day. We had to, you know, meet up, the expense of everything. And for you to facilitate it, me and all my staff would like to say thank you. We have a pretty cool story that not a lot of people know about. And being able to share that with you and your audience is pretty fun.
So, it's almost as fun as this trail right here.
Yeah, I'm still only in two-wheel drive, too.
Nice.
But yeah, also, appreciate you.
No, I appreciate you saying that. That means a lot to me, actually. But, okay, we'll catch you guys on the next one. Make sure and go check out your stuff. If you need anything for your UTV and apparently upcoming dirt bike and four-wheeler stuff, make sure to check them out. They've got a bunch of awesome stuff.
Yep. Thank you, guys.